Last week at the baptism of Jackson Olson, I mentioned to his mom and dad, I said, the very first creed of the church was only three words. Jesus is Lord. Not Caesar. Caesar doesn't rule. Jesus rules. I said, you know, that's probably something we should be teaching our kids, even Little Hope, so that when she's learning different words like mama and daddy and different things like that, that we teach our kids, Jesus rules. What does that mean? Jesus is Lord, you see? And we know that because we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross forever. The cross of Jesus. The cross is not going away. Now, some people might want to try to get rid of it off of the top of buildings that they find offensive. A university, for example, a state university in the state of Oklahoma, there was a movement this summer to say, hey, we know that this chapel was given to the university 50 years ago, but we have students here that find this offensive. So we need to get rid of the cross at the top of the chapel, and we need to get rid of the cross inside the chapel, and we need to get rid of all the Bibles too, because it's offensive. Well, of course it's offensive. The cross is always going to be offensive. They used it to crucify offenders. And there's nothing more offensive than Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins. The cross is not going to go away. It is here to stay. So, who are you getting behind? What are you getting behind? In other words, what are you propping up? What are you supporting? What cause are you defending? Are you all in for? Because everyone is following someone or something. The question is who? Whom? What? And who is it that you're trying to get ahead of, in front of, and in the process maybe becoming a stumbling block or a hindrance? Getting in the way. Jesus says to his beloved Peter in tonight's gospel, get behind me, Satan. Those are pretty offensive words. You see, Peter wants a crossless Christ. Peter wants the cross to go away. And Jesus says, no way. Not going to happen in my life, not going to happen in your life. Assume the position. Get behind me. You've been conscripted for the cause of God's kingdom. Well, it shouldn't have surprised Peter, because what did Jesus say that day that he and his brother Andrew were working on some of the fish stuff? And James and John, remember, were mending the nets with their dad? Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Fish for people. Like five loaves and two fish. For people. Fish. Not just to catch them, but to feed them. The cross is not going away. So the question that our gospel reading presents for us tonight is, who or what am I going to get behind? It was Origen, one of the early church fathers, commenting on Matthew 16, our gospel for tonight, who said, when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, what he was saying to Peter is this. You've got to know your place. You've got to know your place. Your place is behind me. Not in front of me. Your place is to listen to what I am telling you. Life is going to be for you, Peter. Not for you to try to tell me and others how we can find an easier, simpler, cross-less path or way. Get behind me, Satan. It was Søren Kierkegaard, Danish philosopher, theologian, who said, There's a difference between those who are admirers of Jesus and those who are followers of Jesus. Are you an admirer or follower? There's a difference. Bob Dylan, some of you may or may not know his music, born, I believe, in Duluth, Minnesota, memory recalls. Bob Dylan, a famous musician in America, tells this story. Once he said, Jesus tapped me on the shoulder, and he said to me, Bob, why is it that you are so disinterested in me? What do you mean, Bob said? I'm not disinterested in you. Are you going to follow me, Jesus said. And Bob responded, I never thought about that. And then Jesus replied, well, Bob, it's as simple as this. If you're not following me, then you're simply disinterested in me. So many people want to create this imaginary world where I can just prop myself up on a fence and have a holy everything. Prop myself up on a fence and I don't have to make any choices and I don't have to make any decisions and everything goes. But what we learn in our gospel for tonight is the cross is not going away. It's not. Not for Jesus and not for you. Crying out loud. If you didn't watch, you probably missed. Arnie, Samia, they were weeping last week because their grandson was sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. It's not going away. And so a decision is made every day. Every day. About who we're going to get behind and who we're going to follow. That's what our gospel is saying to us tonight. All in or not in at all. That's the only choices. All in or not in at all. Let's retrace our steps. Because last week when we had the music celebration service, we missed out on a centerpiece in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Because you noticed how our gospel began tonight, it assumes that we know exactly what came before it. And we're going, but we didn't get that last week. Well, they did down in Allison, Minnesota. So let me bring you up to speed. Let's just go back to Matthew 14. Remember, Jesus had heard that John the Baptist was beheaded, his cousin. And so Jesus goes off by himself to a lonely, desolate, deserted place. But the crowds hear where he's going, and they must have found a shortcut. Imagine that, finding a shortcut that gets you to the location before Messiah Jesus gets there. But when Jesus is coming on shore, he sees the crowds, and what does he do? Well, I know what I'd do. Good thing I'm not Jesus. Give me a break! No rest for the wicked, no rest for the righteous. But Jesus, he sees them, and he has compassion on them. And all day long, he's healing. Healing, 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 healing the sick all day long. And all of a sudden the sun is setting and it's starting to get a little dark. And the disciples, who are very practical, they come and they say, you need to tell them to go home. Go get some food for yourselves. And Jesus says, you know, Jesus, you need to send, no. What part of no don't you understand? I mean, Jesus is always going to be offensive. He just is. You give them something to eat. Yeah, right. Scarcity thinkers. That's what a lot of people, disciples, people in the church are. They're scarcity thinkers. Yeah, but how would we do that? We couldn't do that. That's not possible. Come on, get your head out of the clouds. And Jesus says, what do you got? We got 5 loaves. We got 2 fish. I mean, you probably would say, we ain't got squat, right? And Jesus says, give them to me. And you know what he does? He blesses what is put in his hands. And everyone ate and was filled. 12 baskets of leftovers. I'm not kidding you. You know the story. We need to know what is preceding our gospel for tonight. Because immediately after that, Jesus dismisses the crowd, dismisses the disciples. They're going across on the Sea of Galilee by boat to the other side. And what happens? Jesus finally gets some time alone with the Father. He's communing with the Father, and then it's really dark, maybe about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he says, I better catch up with the gang. So he's walking on the Sea of Galilee. He's walking on the water. The disciples, they're being beat up by the wind and the waves, and they see what they think is a ghost, and they have a major panic. And Jesus says, courage, ego and me, I am. Don't be afraid. Peter says, it's you? It's you. Command me to come. Jesus said, come. And Peter gets out of the boat, and he's walking on water. Oh, my God. This is amazing. But he sees the wind. It gets the best of him, and he's in over his head. Save me! And Jesus grabs him for all he's worth. They get back in the boat. You remember what happens then? Pretty powerful. They get in the boat, and it says, and the disciples, those in the boat, the church, they worshiped him. And then they said, truly, you are Son of God. Whew. Hey, go, Amy. I am Son of God. Well, jump ahead a little bit to chapter 16. And Jesus and the disciples are in the region of Caesarea Philippi, which is at the base of Mount Hermon. And there is a cave there called the Cave of Pan or Banyaz. That was the gates of hell. It was the entrance to the underworld. Pan or Banyaz was, well, hell himself, huh? You see? And he's there, and Jesus says, so what's the word on the street about Son of Man? We know the book of Daniel, Son of Man, that's Messiah. What's the word on the street? Well, there's various responses and opinions. And then what happens? Jesus says, who do people say that I am? No. Who do you say that I am? He identifies himself, I am, with Son of Man, Son of God. You see what's happening here? We know that something major is going to happen. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, who has kind of positioned himself as leader of the group, he says, you are the Christ, Mashiach. You are the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus looks at Peter and he says, blessed are you. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona. The sign of the resurrection. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Why? Don't get cocky. You didn't think this up on your own. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon Bar-Jonah. But my Father in heaven. It's all grace. It's all grace, Peter. That's how you got the confession. Wow. Quite a moment. Jesus says, on this rock, right? Peter, Petros, on this rock, I will build my church, that's the pronoun, my church, not your church, my church, Jesus says. On this rock I will build, right? So think about what's happening here. Peter, Petros, is he going to be a foundational stone here? His confession that Jesus is Lord, Jesus rules? Or is he going to become a stumbling block, or worse yet, a millstone? You see? The gates of hell are not going to prevail against my church, Jesus said. Don't hunker in the bunker. Get out there. We're on the attack here. Oh, newborn soldiers of the crucified, bear on their brow the seal of him who died. The cross is not going away. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed and on the third day be raised. That's the setting. And what does Peter do? I mean, you gotta smile at this, right? I mean, think of this guy. He says, Jesus, can we have a little private moment here? Can just you and I have a little one-on-one conversation here? I mean, he's so sensitive, right? We're going to take him aside and have this little conversation, just Peter and Jesus. And he says, I mean, I can't use the words he probably said. I know Matthew probably doesn't use them exactly either. But I can guarantee you there was a lot of four-letter words, etc., where Peter is saying, you're nuts! And this stops right here, right now. You're not going to die. We're not going to die. We're going to kick butt on those Romans, and we're going to establish the kingdom of David. We're going to do things the right way. I'm here to tell you, Jesus, in case you've gotten it wrong, how things have got to be. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Rebukes him. Why? Because, you know, Peter has chosen a crossless Christ. He wants to get rid of the cross. And it's not just off of the buildings or inside the buildings. He wants to get rid of the cross that's been placed on him. And Jesus said, the cross isn't going away. He tells them what the Son of Man is going to do, and he also tells them what those who follow in his footsteps are going to do. They're going to suffer. They're going to be killed. And on the third day, they're going to be raised. Don't miss that. The third day, you're going to be raised. That's a promise. The third day. Well, whoever would save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life, Jesus says, for my sake, will find it. Whoever wants to follow me must take up their cross, deny themselves, and be ready to die. That's why Bonhoeffer said and lived, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. The cross isn't going away. Not for Jesus, not for you, not for me. A pastor who is a Presbyterian loves to duck hunt. Pastor Bob and his good friend Riley, who only in the last couple of years came to faith in Jesus and became a Christian. But they were friends, and they duck hunted together. But in recent years, Riley has come to faith in Jesus, and so when they were hunting last fall, duck hunting, you know what happened? Riley says, you know, Bob, Pastor, I just don't get it. Ever since Jesus came into my life, things have just gotten way too complicated. I mean, way too hard. I've got my old friends that are trying to mess with me and trying to get me to do things that I know are bad and wrong. Everything is a mess. I just don't understand it. And Bob looked at Riley and said, we're going to be shooting some ducks pretty soon. So let's say they come flying over and you shoot a couple. And you kill one and you wound one. And they fall in the water. And you got to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat and go get those ducks. Which one you're going to get first? You know what Riley said? That's a no-brainer, Bob. I'll go after the one that's wounded so it doesn't get away. The one that's dead ain't going anywhere. And Pastor Bob said, Riley, who do you think Satan's going to go after? The ones that have been wounded with the cross of Jesus. He's going to do everything he can to keep you and me from getting away from him. Jesus rules. And Satan has always got to take a back seat. Get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. You see, there's only two choices. And you've already died. And your life is hid with Christ. And you've been raised. Oh, so what you're saying, Pastor Dave, is there's really only one choice. Yeah. Who are you going to get behind? Come and follow Jesus. And you will see. And you will see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.